We welcome to the program this weekend Ron Rogers and also Jennifer Ramsey is here. They're co-chairs of the Rescue Grove Chapel. Ron, welcome. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Dennis. Hey, it's always good to be here with you. You always make us feel so relaxed.
I think you've been here before, but I had no idea what we talked about.
I've been here.
It's been a while.
I've been here many times. I think when we started 911, I think when the DARE program,
right.
I think the last time I was here was with the sheriff, and we were bringing in someone to work with the superintendents on online safety, I believe, on the internet.
That's right.
So,
wow. Look at that. He remembers those conversations.
I love being with you, Dennis.
Welcome back. Great to have you. Jennifer, first time on the show.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
And
happy to be here.
Through a small world, we find out that we're related. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Small town. That's the beauty of a small town. You never know when you're going to meet a cousin.
Absolutely right. I love it. So it's great to have you two here. Talking about the Rescue Grove Chapel and I guess to begin with, what is that all about? Who wants to take that?
Well, I could give you a little history.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little history, and Jennifer can jump in wherever she'd like.
Exactly.
So basically, the history on this was over the last probably 10 years, the chapel's kind of been earmarked for demolition,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. You know, so over the years, you know, there's always been that thought that you know, I think once a windstorm hit the chimney and knocked it off, it was just 3 or 4 years ago, you know, it kind of broke some slate and made the roof leak.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of put it on a faster pace to demolition. But you know what, with having to take down another building that was real close there, you know, in the cemetery, which was a mausoleum, people were like, well, could we save the chapel?
Yeah.
You know, and I think to save anything, you just have to have some people step forward and say, okay, we're going to handle this. And Jennifer and I, as co-chairs, you know, something that we thought was in our wheelhouse. So we're very fortunate. We took this on. The cemetery board is 100% behind it. And their idea was safety. And if we can make it safe, they're all for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to put that new roof on it. And that'll keep the slate from flying off and hurting somebody or anything else. It'll also help dry out the inside from the leaks and stuff. So that's kind of the history. Plus, I don't know if everybody knows, but Ed Rogers, my brother, saved the armory,
mm-hmm.
and he has ridden me real heavy ever since I've been on the cemetery board that we have to save the chapel, which he calls the armory's little sister.
Yeah, little sister, and we'll talk about that. It is interesting when people realize it. Jennifer, how did you jump on board?
So what's really interesting is I had seen on social media, Ron had reached out, really taking a poll from the community, asking if they wanted to, you know, what are their thoughts on saving the chapel?
Mm-hmm.
My history for what I do for work, part of what I did for the Ohio State University when I worked for them was historic registration for a couple of buildings, but one most particular was Indianola Middle School, which was actually the nation's first junior high school. So I've always had a passion for any type of architectural history, art history. And so, you know, at that point, my professional and, you know, personal experience was able to combine. And I have always admired the chapel. And so when I saw that, of course, I jumped on and I reached out to Ron and I said, look, if you need any help, assistance, you know, I really think, you know, this building could get on the historic registry, at least for the state starting out. And I'd be more than happy to sit down and talk to you and even go through, you know, just, you know, provide advisory if I needed to on how to do that. So that's really where I came in. And I'm so glad that I did, because it seems like a lot of historic projects and probably a lot of the same story on all of the historic buildings on the state list. It has a very similar story. Sometimes they can just be diamonds in the rough that, you know, maybe the local community isn't aware of what they have or the history behind it. So it's why it's such an important initiative. And I'm very grateful that Ron had the foresight to, of course, you know, reach out and have the conversation.
Go ahead, Ron.
Well, I think, you know, as Jennifer's saying that, all I can think of is this, is that, you know, I have a wheelhouse that I'm good at. Jennifer brings skills that I don't have. She has her own wheelhouse. She brings skills from, I mean, she's young, she's enthusiastic, she's a corporate real estate agent, she knows people, and she comes from a very good family here in this community, too. And our community is very fortunate to have talent here. And our committee has about 23 people on it. I might be off one or two, but we have 23 people, and everybody brings a different perspective and a different area and expertise. And everybody sooner or later will find their niche for this chapel and be able to just excel. Jennifer, she just started excelling immediately anyway, but, you know, she found her niche.
Oh, well, thank you, Ron. I really appreciate that. And, you know, I've been doing real estate for 19 years. The first part of my career was in property management, construction management. I was a director of operations for a construction development ground up at one point. From there, I jumped into corporate real estate. And so it's really just been, I enjoy what I do. So it's not work if you enjoy what you do. And it's just such a need here in the community to really kind of evaluate, our buildings and what we have as far as assets in real estate. And so I was just more than thrilled to be able to, bring that personal passion of, art history and architectural history. But I'm just so appreciative of everyone that is on the committee. You know, part of any project is being able to utilize your assets, and assets are not always, whether it's tools or money or things like that. It's the people that surround you, and being able to empower their talents and help them, further along those talents and what they're good at. And so that's kind of what I bring. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate, calling me young. yes, I thank you, Ron.
You are young. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I do appreciate that. And, I feel that this is a momentum that is not only in our county, but, nationwide, that you have this, younger generation. And my head's going to get so big, I can't walk out the door here in a minute. But I think it's so important to see the younger generation being able to really come in at this point with, that enthusiasm. We have experience under our belt now, and, we can help bring, whether it's technology or talent, networking, things like that. So that's really what I'm excited about, as well as working with the amazing people in this town.
Yeah. Absolutely. So by the way, if people hear loud crashing sounds and noises in the background, no buildings are being raised or anything like that. Construction is going on in downtown. So.
Progress.
Yeah,
we like progress.
You're hearing progress. Exactly. Go ahead, Ron.
So one of the things I want us to think about, and I'm going to read this so I don't mess it up, but our goal for the chapel, this our original goal for the chapel is, the goal is to solidify this chapel's exterior, ensuring it can stand for another century. Century, of course, is 100 years. Our work will focus on preserving the structural integrity and aesthetics of the exterior in a way that complements the surrounding cemetery. The restoration will honor the past, the future, and provide a serene, durable, and visually harmonious presence in the cemetery, bringing peace and tranquility to all who visit. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do here. Now, with the addition of Jennifer, we have so many committee members, and Jennifer's helping coordinate all the different aspects that's going to go on. Hopefully we can talk and about all those things.
Sure.
But what I like to always say is it's the roof right now. It's the roof. We're raising money to replace the roof to dry out the chapel. Now, does that mean that's all we're doing at this moment? No. There's lots of gears moving at once. And Jennifer can relate, and she'll give us a description of how all those gears are moving the way they are. But in this community, and I want to stress this, but in this community, over the years, we've seen remarkable things happen. And not only do we have small donations coming in from folks and large donations coming in from folks and individuals, but we're also having some really large donations come in from companies.
Wow.
And we want to stress that in this county, it's those companies that make the difference. It's like the companies that helped create the Hardin County YMCA. They really came through. Memorial Park Golf Course, Kenton City Schools Athletic Building, the Chad Roof Inclusive Park, the Hardin County Armory. There's so many projects where we were so lucky to have community members that helped with their donations, but also these companies step in and donate nice sums and help in every way possible. That's what's going to get this project, to where we need it to be.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, with any type of construction project, with an existing building, what you're really wanting to understand is, okay, let's step back and take a look. First of all, we need to make sure that at least two of the most important components is going to be a roof, of course, and then we look at the foundation and the building structure itself. So I want to call it phase one, and Ron, you may flinch when I say phases, but I really look at this in phases because that's that's really how you have to approach this. We had a building assessment that was completed, and I reviewed that as well. The structure is sound, and that's one of the most fantastic, things, lack for a better word, about these types of buildings is they were built to last. And so the structure itself seems to be in good shape. Of course, now we have the roof. Well, as we know, roofs, they do have an expiration date. And so this roof, of course, is a slate roof, which was a material that was used during this time period quite a bit. But and the reason for that, it was built to last. But again, they do have an expiration. So phase one for me is going to be the exterior. It's going to be the roof. We know the most important need, and especially based on that assessment that was done, we need to get it dry and we need to get it safe. So as long as we can accomplish that, and a roof is very important to that, right? And right now, every day that goes by, we know that, it could be compromising the structure inside. So that's why it's the most urgent need. Community funding, whether that is through individual or corporate donations or company donations, that's always the fastest way to acquire any type of quick funding for these types of projects. And it's not unheard of. It's actually pretty common, especially in my world and in the work that I've done. So community funding is, of course, the first step there. The second step is let's work on getting it registered with the state. And so there are a few different avenues that we can claim, historic importance for this chapel. I think, based on what we've reviewed, we are going to go for a criteria that is based on importance linked to cultural events or people. Mm-hmm. Now, the research that we have come up with this is linked to some of the most important American history wars and conflicts, as it has seen through, 140 years, I think, at this point. So we have to really hone in on that. And I think that's why it's going to be very successful in getting it on not only the state registry, but a national registry. So how this works is that once we apply for state historic registration, they will evaluate, okay, what do we have here from a state level? Was this building part of national events, whether cultural or, global events even? And from what we understand, especially with its, for World War I, serving as a repose for the soldiers that were killed in action, and the bodies were stored there. And I'm saying this as respectfully as I can. It's just sometimes it's a morbid conversation, but at the same time, it's such an amazing, honoring conversation. Sure. These are people who died for our country. There's a very real possibility that we may not be having the same conversation had that not gone well. And those people paid the ultimate sacrifice. Right. And so what we do know, and Ron, you can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, is that this chapel, serving as a repose for the killed in action soldiers, they were shipped to this area, kept in the chapel until either one, they were claimed by their families, they could come to the chapel and claim their loved ones, or because we do have the five railroads that interconnect here in Kenton, and we remember rail was, one of the means for transportation then, they would then be shipped regionally to Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania to be laid to their final rest when they got home. So that in itself is, if you really think about the purpose that this chapel, and I've heard someone on the committee call it a rest stop. And that is just an amazing, honoring way to really explain, what it was. And not only that, but it was held for services for members that served in our Civil War. They, of course, not killed in action during the Civil War because of the time period that the building was built, but it was, they had survived, and then they had services there. And I mean, we could go on. I think, you know, we've really kind of honed in on the historian part of this. And I think that's what I've really enjoyed the most as well, is that we do have so many service members that have come from this area and Medal of Honor winners. We have, you know, people that served in the Spanish-American War that had services there. And that's just, you know, when you think about what that chapel has stood through, and the progress and the evolution of even us people, it's phenomenal.
It
so,
is. Ron, this is a building that most residents here kind of take for granted. Beautiful building, there it is, but we didn't know the history of it like that. Visitors coming through seeing it may see it in a different light. Like, wow, look at that building. This is unique for Hardin County and Kenton.
You know what? You just said everything in one sentence, though, Dennis, and that is that we all took it for granted. Mm-hmm. We all took it for granted. We took for granted a building that's been there since 1896, built by John Burkhart, who also built the Hardin County Armory, mm-hmm. and that's why my brother says it's the armory's yeah. sister because it's small. But we all took it for granted. And this thing has withstood, like Jennifer said in her historical piece just now, It also withstood two pandemics.
Wow, yeah.
Two pandemics. You know, the first one, people were actually put there in their resting, you know, and a matter of fact, we have articles that said that Bill Keller had found for us, he's a wonderful historian in our community, that said that, you know what, the body, this certain person had to lay there until this other person got over, I think it was scarlet fever or something, you know. I mean, it was there, it was always there. One of the pastors in our community said, you know what? We buried a lot of people during this last pandemic, during COVID, a lot of people. But you know what? When the people pulled in, when we pulled into that cemetery and we saw that chapel there, it was the one thing we could always count on.
Yeah.
It was always standing. It was always there. It says chapel on it. It represents something way larger than life. You know, what? I can't even imagine what we would have done if it wasn't there.
Right.
You know, he said, I don't know what we would have done. It's the cornerstone of Grove Cemetery. You
it
know,
is.
And now we're finding what's the name of it when we think about the grounds, sacred grounds now that it sits on. Is that right, Jennifer?
Yeah, we're calling it sacred ground, and that's really what it is. And you think about the emotions, you know, that have just passed through, whether it was during services or around it, right? So I've said this to Ron, and you know, and I apologize to anyone who may not have a religious view. But, you know, I believe there's two times in a person's life that they experience God or mortality, right? One is birth. That's a very happy time. The other is death. And those are times that people really look within themselves to understand, what am I here for? What did I do with my life? What was that dash in between these two numbers that are on the tombstones? And I think the chapel holds so much of that for people, and that's why it's so connected to that emotional piece of importance to them, and it's really just familiarity to being able to understand you know, their community. They're used to driving by it and seeing it, you know. But that's the history is just what we have found. It is so amazing, but it's all of our ancestors. That's right. The cool part, right? Mm-hmm. And I say cool, but there's the young coming out of me. but what I say is that, you know, the best part is these are our neighbors, great, great, great grandparents, right? Or even, you know, further down. These are cousins. These are aunts, uncles. I mean, this is the best part, I think, of a small community when we have places like this. And you know, I was very long-winded in talking about the history. I kind of dove in there. I was trying to elaborate on funding. And of course, you know, that's, you can probably feel the passion on the history side on there. But the point that I was trying to make with any type of historic registration is not only what you're going to find and discover. But when you have something that is listed on the state registry or even the national registry, it does provide additional avenues for grants, donations from foundations, and especially depending on the criteria that you register under. And as I explained, we're registering under events or importance connected to people, individuals or events. You're really going to be able to open up another avenue of, if we want to call it funding, financing, whatever it may be. And so that's why, you know, I think a lot of the concern is, why are we having to do this as individuals? And, you know, we pay tax dollars. And, well, that's the story of almost every building on a state historic list. You know, I want to jump in and, you know, I'm trying not to be long-winded here, but you know, the chapel was built 1895, and we know that it stopped having services around the 1940s. I want to say it was, I think, post-World War II. So we got to think about the culture and what was happening at that point in time. At that point, the building was nearing 50 years old. There's one heating source, and that, I believe, was a fireplace stove.
That's what we think.
And so, you know, you have a building that not only has reached, you know, technically its life of use, right? If we're looking at, you know, today's terms for, you know, when we build something, we're typically only looking at 30 years. But at that point, we also have to remember that people started using funeral homes more commonly. There was better climate control, you know, in funeral homes or churches at that point. And so we have to really understand, you know, what was happening around and kind of the decisions to stop using the chapel at that point. I think the chapel, as far as an exterior and being maintained, there's several, you know, projects that I know the cemetery board had worked on to maintain the masonry, which is structure, right? That's important. And I think the roof started to crumble as it would with its age. And, you know, I don't think that the cemetery board realized what they had. Right. And again, this is the same story for so many of these buildings that are on a historic list. And in the one that I personally worked on, it was really left to ruin. And that was owned by a very large school board at the time. And I won't go into details and prevent of litigation. But so, you know, we have to step back and you know, we understand it was not maintained because from a business standpoint, it was maintained to the best. It had reached its life use by the 1940s. They started using it as storage, and they were no longer using it for services. So with that being said, phase one to me, dry and safe. So get the roof fixed. And the fastest way to get that done is community funding. And of course, working to get it on the historic registry, that takes time. It can take up to 8 to 9 months. We are working furiously to be on the next agenda with that board, hopefully by April. And then we'll have decisions hopefully by June on a designation. So that's what the angle that we're going there. So we are exploring other opportunities for funding. But again, in the meantime, it needs a roof and spring is coming, right? Yeah. And I don't know if you're a Game of Thrones fan, but, you know, winter is here, right? But spring is coming. And Game of Thrones people will
don't get that. Okay.
But, no. Okay, sorry. Ron always makes fun of me. I'm constantly doing these movie references or pop culture, and Ron makes fun of me. But
so Dennis, the chapel's about hope. Yes, you know, yes. It's about hope.
Absolutely.
And we're looking at, right now, we're looking at raising $70,000. And our hope is that we go far beyond that, because we also would like to be able to replace windows.
Sure.
You know, and get those taken care of, as well as that's just part of that outside exterior. Some, you know, and some tucking that needs done also, you know, between those bricks. There's a little bit of that needs done. But again, it's our community has always been, you know, they've always gone above and beyond when it comes to things like this. And our committee hasn't even started to raise money yet, has it, Jennifer?
We really have. So when we
formally,
are,
I mean,
formally, we have. So what we're working on right now is we're working on a website, that can really be a project website that we can refer some of our large donors. You know, just it's a more professional approach to reaching out to corporate entities or companies. And it's really a reference point to better understand, provide Q&A for a lot of the questions, right? So why am I donating? Where is my money going to? What's the plan, right? So we're working on that. So the fact that our community, our little community, has been able to raise, I want to say it's 40% of the goal at this point.
I think we're 46.
Wow. 46%. So we are almost half. Way there in just word of mouth
and Facebook
and social media, right? Yeah. Yep. So that is an amazing accomplishment. Yeah. It really is. And you know, so that's why we're going to continue to raise money. And for me, and Ron may kick me under the table here, phase two for me is going to be, okay, we got it dry and safe. We know structurally, I would love to have, you know, some structural plans to make sure that we can understand in the future, you know, and have some architectural plans. We are working on that as well. Here's the building plans. Here's the architectural plans. Here's the structure plans. It's dry and it's safe. Now, let's tackle the cosmetic piece, right? Let's go inside. The inside of this chapel is absolutely beautiful. Now, you're going to have to look past the dust and, you know, some of the cosmetic stuff, right? That can all be cleaned up. That's not a big deal. But when you start looking at the woodworking, you start looking at the stained glass, it is phenomenal. You know, and there's a criteria for the historic registry for architectural style. I very well think that this chapel could absolutely be considered on that criteria. But, you know, we want to make sure that we're going for what we feel is important to the community for historic registry. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, the additional phases for me is going to be the internal restoration. Now, what we, you know, having those assessments done, we are working on that. We are working with several different contractors for estimates for different things. And we also know that there are a lot of skilled tradesmen in our area that are willing to contribute to that restoration, those contractors at cost, volunteering, which is unheard of. So again, I refer back to the small community and how important that is. And yes, we may be small, but we are very mighty. And I am just so incredibly proud of, you know, the chapel and the people and the initiative. And I really think it's going to be something that the community can be proud in.
We are unfortunately out of time, and I do apologize for that. But don't think yourself long-winded, Jennifer. All that information was needed, and I think a lot of people learned something from that. So, in closing, where do we get more information? And I'm sure you'll be back for another.
Okay, so another show. Dennis, real quick. I think probably one of the things that we didn't hit very hard, and that is we do need donations. Mm-hmm. We need donations. And if you're a Venmo person, if you're a young person, you can, you know, look up Rescue Grove Chapel, and that'll find us on Venmo. Or you can go and put in at Grove Cemetery - Chapel Fund, and that'll get you the same place on Venmo. You can also drop off donations at any of one of our Quest Federal Credit Union locations. Or if you're from out of town, you can send a check to Quest Federal Credit Union, Attention Chapel Fund, 12837 U.S. Highway 68, Kenton, Ohio, 43326. And, of course, that's Kenton with a K, mm-hmm. K-E-N-T-O-N. Yeah. You know, we want to make sure the money goes to the right place. But, yes, we definitely need some folks that can donate. We are together. We can preserve this beautiful piece of history and ensure it continues to inspire and comfort future generations.
There's much more to talk about. You're both invited back again to keep us up to date. And I just want to thank you both very much for your time. Jennifer, we learned something today. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.